Welcome back to Lost in Theaters, the podcast where we talk about movies that have slipped through the cracks of pop culture. My name is Rachel, and I'm here with my dear sister,
Ruth.
Ruth.
It's just Ruth.
With two O's?
Nope. A U. A single U.
Two U's?
Nope. Just one U.
That's right. And we are going to talk about... Ruth, this week, we're going back to our roots. For a while... You know when you're sifting through films and there is a bit of... You know, you want to find little-known films. Films that have gone through the cracks of pop culture. Which means they're not easily locatable, right? On the get-go. When you're on some streaming platform, they're like, watch these ones. Everyone loves these ones. And you're like, I literally am looking for the ones that... not everyone sees. So it's a bit of digging.
Yeah.
We've had some pretty dramatic films this season.
I mean, nothing compares to B.U.G. in season one.
I mean, that was horrible. That's true. But we had Gretel and Hansel, and...
That seemed more low-key.
Disclaimer,
I remember very few things that we talk about in these podcasts, so that's also for audience information.
I'm just saying we've had some high-octane films that I've had to watch, so I was thinking...
Like C-A-N-A-B-A-L-I-S-M?
Yes, the trauma. The trauma of mushrooms. It was horrid.
Don't say that word anymore.
I wanted to find something that was a little more, you know, chill.
Kosher.
A little more chill. And where better to go?
Is honey kosher? No, sorry. Don't listen
yes,
to me.
Yes, I think so. Where better to go than, you know, 60s Disney movies?
So our attic? Did you dig through our attic?
No.
Okay.
Disney Plus.
The children's library?
No. Okay. Disney Plus has all of their... back catalog of films, and one of the films that when you search through, and even when they're like, do you want to rewatch an old classic, one of the movies that doesn't really show up on those lists is
Apple Dumpling Gang?
No, that one's a classic.
Oh, just
is The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes.
Could you repeat that?
Yeah. I read it like 12 times. The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes.
War.
Yeah.
Not war.
Yeah.
War.
War.
As in, like, put on to wear.
Yeah,
he
as in...
wore...
a sweater. Or he wore...
Not war.
Yeah.
As in, like, went to war.
The computer wore tennis shoes.
Because that's how I heard it.
A war...
The computer wore...
Wait.
Tennis shoes.
A war between computers and tennis shoes. Can you imagine that showdown?
That is what I imagined.
I am imagining it! It's amazing! Oh my goodness. And it's just the computer and the... Anyways.
The computer is wearing tennis shoes in the past. Yes? That's what the sentence is?
No. Yes. Yes.
What?
Yes. It is.
What do you mean,
sorry,
no?
I was still envisioning, like, a computer, but no. No. It's a...
What?
Well, think of it.
You said,
like,
the computer.
How does a computer wear tennis shoes, Ruth? We'll just think about...
Is it an android?
Kinda. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know, you super glue them to the bottom?
Yeah, well, they will learn throughout the episode how the computer...
Robot.
Okay, so the reason I had to read it like 12 times was I just expected a who to be somewhere between computer and war. The computer who wore tennis shoes, you know? But there wasn't. And I was wondering where the title came from. This one comes solely from... the song at the introduction of the movie,
I'm
like
pouring
the
tea,
credits.
By the way.
Oh yeah, Ruth has tea, and I will have tea later. The introduction of the credits. There's a song. It goes, "The computer wore tennis shoes and a twinkle in his eye," and it goes on from there.
Poor computer.
You'll see. It's gonna be fine.
She says.
So it's from the song at the beginning. It's a pretty intense song. Anyways, so this movie, The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, okay, so I also watched some time ago a Disney film called The Ugly Dachshund.
Did we review that?
No.
Wasn't it too short?
No, it was... plotless.
Non sequitur.
It was, no, but I just kept expecting things to tie in. We should talk about it at some point. But we can talk, well, okay, so the Ugly Dachshund.
Now we are talking
had
about it.
Many plot points in it, okay? But none of them connected at all. But it felt like an old Disney movie, you know, where it feels, it has that classic figure who from, like, what's his name? But he's in, I mean, That Darn Cat again, and, I think he might be in Herbie. Anyways.
Yes, the one with the firehouse.
Yeah.
And the little old lady.
Mm-hmm.
And Herbie's like, don't knock down my firehouse.
Exactly, that's the guy. So his vibe, the old Disney vibe, is present in this one, but it has more plot. It has less plot than That Darn Cat, but more plot than The Ugly Dachshund.
Sorry, my face went completely slack.
You did. You just utterly didn't respond at all.
I'm really sleepy.
What am I supposed to do with this? Additionally, it stars Kurt Russell.
Who's he?
He's a famous actor.
Wait. Is he the guy who actually has his own band and did sing in Les Mis?
No, that's Russell Crowe.
Dang it.
I think.
I was so close.
Yeah.
Not
you
close
were
at
close.
All.
No, Kurt Russell plays Ego the Living Planet in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I haven't seen the first one or the second one.
What? No, you have.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, I was thinking Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
There's too many galaxies.
Okay, so he's a famous... Oh, he's also Knight Rider. That's who it is. I was trying to remember why it was such a big deal that
Knight
he was
Rider.
In Guardians of the Galaxy. It's where the car talks to the man.
Oh.
Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah, I know about this. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I know about this.
So Kurt Russell plays the lead young man in
I
this.
Still can't envision this guy.
I know. I didn't recognize him at all. I just, for some reason, his face didn't stick with me. Additionally, the villain in this movie is played by a man named Cesar Romero. Are you ready for this? I was not prepared for this insight. When I looked him up and I saw his picture, my brain was like, I've seen this man before. Because he's old in this movie.
Uh-huh.
But it was a young picture of him. I was like, where have I seen him? He's Chris Jorgensen from The Thin Man.
Wait, what?
I know! That was his second movie ever. The Thin Man comes out in 1934. Chris Jorgensen is played by Cesar Romero, but he also plays the villain in this movie.
Chris Jorgensen. He's the one who the lady
Didn't
isn't married
to.
Did you
think that Chris could work?
Yes, yeah. Yes. The one who's like doesn't work and goes off to his bedroom.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. He also plays the Joker in the 1966 Adam West Batman.
Dude!
This man's career is baller, can I just say that? I'm really proud of
him. He knows how to pick him.
He does! He does. It's great.
Except for this movie.
Well, this movie was good. I enjoy this movie. As someone who appreciates old Disney movies, I found this pleasant. And
okay.
So, you know, that's who this movie is for, Ruth. It's for someone who just wants a chill movie to watch. Probably, I mean, you could watch it with other people, but it was enjoyable to watch by myself.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like I wanted to mock the film the whole time kind of thing. yes. So that's this movie. Thoughts, questions, concerns, comments from the Peanut Gallery.
Should we have a rating at this point?
Oh good. Oh, it's like G. Maybe PG, but I really can't think of anything that would make it PG.
You've said that before and then revealed that we're talking about C.
Oh my gosh!
N-A-P-A-R-I-S-N.
No. There's nothing quite like that. I can't imagine someone having a crisis.
There's
in
no
the
cuss
this.
Words. There's
oh, no,
no drugs or alcohol.
No.
There's no.
Oh, there is gambling. It's a pleasant film. A chill and pleasant film. Any more thoughts, questions, concerns, comments?
So we know who it's for.
Uh-huh.
And infants could watch it.
Uh-huh.
And also regular adults could watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Happily.
Mm-hmm.
Any special effects that will be especially alarming to our modern viewers?
only that it's set in the 60s, and therefore...
Should we characterize the 60s for our younger listeners?
By
I have a younger listener. Help me.
Okay, so it's sort of like the whole film doesn't make sense if you don't know... if you didn't understand that technology today doesn't work back then. Technology back then doesn't work like it does today.
Any more specific qualifiers?
Well, because it concerns computers.
Oh, okay.
In the 60s.
Okay.
So noted. All the technology actually looks like the Star Wars Death Star scene.
Oh, really?
From 1977.
Cool. Okay.
The way the lights work and the setup, like that's the vibe. And I can imagine if you were a young person watching this, you might be shocked. Period.
Just shocked.
You might just be shocked if you'd never encountered it before. But it's fun, you know?
Electrocution.
Yeah.
Really comes at you.
Wait till you hear about it.
Oh, no.
Okay. Medium spoiler section?
Yeah.
Okay. Medium
spoiler
section. Are
you okay when you hit your chest like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I practiced as a young child because I wanted to be able to beat my chest.
Like
so
Tarzan or what?
I wanted to be... I don't know. It was an intimidation tactic. I thought it was an intimidation tactic, and I was like, well, if I want to be able to intimidate people, I should be able to beat my chest.
I think you were correct.
So I learned how to beat my clavicle.
Ow.
It's pretty great. Anyways.
Glad you're okay.
Me too. So the premise of the film is that a computer ends up inside the head of a boy. It's actually a college student, technically. A college student ends up with a computer in his head and gets really smart. But the computer is also used for nefarious purposes, like rigging games.
Huh.
To make unlawful income.
Uh-huh.
And so he's in danger.
That darn unlawful income.
Yeah. So he's in danger. And it's sort of the playing out of those events.
So the computer's trying to escape.
No.
Dang it.
The computer is the boy. Young man.
Concerned.
Is the young man.
Do I understand? No. Let's move on.
Well, it is confusing. Because usually when you think computer inside of a person, what do you think, Ruth?
Microchip.
Yeah, right? That is not the vibe of this one. I don't even know. It's... This is something that... I watched how they did the computer inside the person, and I thought, well, that's creative license. I mean, it just... We're just so realistic these days.
Uh-huh.
Like, it must, like, incorporate itself into his nervous system, and it'll be like blood, but little electrons. No. The doctor looks into his eyes and sees the blinking dashboard that used to be outside of the computer, and now the blinking dashboard is inside of him.
Okay.
Computer.
So is the boy himself?
Yes.
Just plus a computer?
Yes. He's himself plus the, like, reasoning and intellect of a computer.
I have philosophical and theological problems with this.
Yes.
But we should continue.
Yes. I agree. I was willing to just let the lawnmower go.
Yeah, it's fine. What? That was an interesting analogy. What do you want to reveal to me?
Nothing.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Nothing is fine, Ruth.
Uh-huh.
Yes, okay. Major spoilers?
Let's go.
Alright. So, opening scene is, there's professors talking around a table. And one of them is like, we should get a computer because it's the modern age and the kids need to know how to use the incoming technology. And the other guy's like,
get a computer, they said. Put it in the kid's head,
they said. They didn't put it in the
kid's
head.
The kids will love it, they said.
But the dean, who's in charge, is like, we don't have the budget. Besides, kids don't need...
We don't have the budget for that. Just combine them, they said.
No, this is what happens, Ruth. So, he says, we don't have the budget.
No kidding.
And they're debating it, and he's like, but City College has a computer. We're going to lose students to City College if we don't get a single
computer. Just make our own students.
Oh, my Lando. So while they're having this conversation, the camera zooms in on the flowers, and there's, like, an antenna in the flowers. But the antenna belongs to, connects to a walkie-talkie that a boy is holding as he's going down the nice. Road. And he's listening to the whole conversation, and he sits down in a courtyard thing, uh-huh. and it turns on the thing, and so everyone's listening, the students. There's a large portion of the student body listening to the conversation about the budget that they're having.
Dang!
And then they're like, well, now we have to get to the next thing on the agenda, the dead wood. And then they need to be expelled. And then the guy who wanted the computer, his name is Dr. Quigley, or Mr. Quigley, and he's like, well, we know that the not-so-gifted students need as much help as the gifted students.
What?
I don't know where this conversation came from, but it was surreal to listen to. And they're like, no, we have to put these kids on probation.
The not-so-gifted students?
I know! They start listing names, okay, of people who are gonna get, kids who are gonna get, like, kicked out. And meanwhile, what? Outside are all of the people listening.
Oh my gosh!
They are so chill about this, it's surreal.
Dang.
It's so funny, because they're one of them's like, man, I didn't make it, it's like, I missed it, and I was like, it's okay, Jim, you know, and they're like, alright, you know, and they're, so then the kids are all sitting at the table, you know, talking, still, and they're like, if only there was something we could do for Mr. Quigley, he's always standing up for us, you know, and aww. I wish we could get him a computer.
Oh no.
They're like, yeah, we could do that, so like, what are we gonna do? And then one student, this kid's name is Dexter. He's like, I used to work at the guy who would donate the computer's office as a janitor.
No connection to Dexter's lab.
Correct, none. he's like, I have a connection. We should just go ask him to donate a computer. People donate things to universities all the time.
It's true.
And they're like, you're a janitor, man. You think that's gonna get you any clout? Sure enough, it does. And yeah. The very next scene, they're in his office. and he's like, I would love to give a computer, but I already give $20,000 a year. And it's another $10,000, so I don't think I can, you know, give the money. This guy's name is Arno. And the kids are like, okay, we understand. It's no problem. Thanks for listening to us. He's like, I like this delegation of kids. It's kind of fun. He's like, and he pauses for a second. And he's like, actually, I think I have an idea. And he says, okay, you guys all leave and I'll work on it. So he shoos all the kids out. And then he goes through this secret, he has a secret door in his office. And he goes into his secret lair. And, there
secret
are...
Secret tunnel!
Kind of. But Ruth, there are literal baskets of money.
What?
Picnic baskets. Wicker baskets.
What?
Of money in this room that people are, like, sifting through.
What?
I loved it so much. And so he's sifting through these literal baskets of money, or other people, and he goes to the end, and there's a computer at the end of the room.
Is there an explanation for this at any point?
Yeah, because it's dirty money is the effect, right? Like, that's the idea, is he's getting this money, he goes to the end of the room, and the computer starts sort of spouting these weird words, you know, Applejack, 24, numbers, and then he's, like, squid.
This makes me think of Terry Pratchett and the computer that the
unseen academicals
have.
Yes, it's kind of like that. So they have just this, and then there's a conversation between Arno and one of his henchmen. I was gonna say stooge.
Stenchman.
I was gonna say stooge, and then I went with henchman, and I switched, so it sounded like stenchman.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But he's like. So this is, their conversation reveals that this is their way they're making their money, and it has to do with betting and stuff.
Okay.
And it's probably not great. And then he's like, okay, he says, put this money on whatever the games are, these things, and then he's like, oh, and also, take $20,000, don't send the check to the college for $20,000 this time. He's like, okay. He's like, wouldn't that look bad? And he's like, don't question me. Okay. So the next scene is the computer being brought into...
This is the janitor still, right? Like, this is a janitor that was, like, leading all of this? So, like, the lab or what?
No.
So the kid was a janitor for these people.
Yes, but he's...
But we don't really understand who these people are.
These people are just people with money. Donors.
Just donors.
And they're like, got, they have some
with
business.
Their baskets of money.
secret baskets of money.
Is this like some superintendent's like dream vengeance project or like what?
I don't know, man. So cut back to the university or the college, and they're bringing in the
Which
computer.
Is it?
It's a college. And they're bringing in a computer, and this Ruth is a Hidden Figures computer. You remember Hidden Figures?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have the students bringing it in. These are strapping young men, and they just keep coming in with parts of the computer, and they're like sweating. And you know, it's like one huge tower of something,
yeah.
Second huge tower of something. And I say this because, again, people will be confused if they think of modern day computers.
Yeah.
No, it's a room, effectively.
Yeah.
They fill a room with the technology that is a computer. So the next day at class, Mr. Quigley is explaining how to use a computer.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's like the human brain in almost every way.
Oh no.
We're gonna show you how it can replace human beings.
Any computer scientist is rolling their eyes so hard right now.
So, he uses like fake water, he uses fake rain to simulate rain on the sensor so that it makes the door close and the phone order groceries, it's a whole thing. And he's like, and you would have forgotten it, but the computer didn't.
What?
Then he's like, the computers also have infallible memory.
Okay.
There's a tape in the computer that has a flight path from a spaceship to Mercury from 20 years ago. It's about to recall it perfectly. And I would like to add that I don't think that that's how... That just didn't feel like memory to
That's
me.
Not how computers work.
Well, on top of that, when I recall something, I feel like there isn't a tape in my head that has exactly copied it.
No.
Memory and computer... It was the first time I ever thought that computer memory and human memory are just, like, not the same.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
It was very weird. Anyway, so... but instead of recalling what it was supposed to recall, it goes haywire and the door slams a bunch
of
stuff. You know.
Okay.
It's like, oh, well, whatever. So, end of class, Dean Higgins comes on the loudspeaker and he's like, all right, everybody, tomorrow is the classification test. So make sure you're here. We finished 43rd last time, and someone was like, hey, isn't there only, like, 44 colleges who take this? You know, I'm like, oh, man. So Dexter goes up to the professor, and he's like, so what's wrong with the computer? And he's like, oh, well, this piece malfunctioned. I have to get a new one, or, you know, bad things will happen. He's like, well, I could go get it. And he says, shouldn't you study for that exam? And he's like, nah, it'll be okay. I'll get it.
Dexter's doomed.
So Dexter goes to get the part. And
Dexter is doomed.
Ruth,
sorry.
This kid still wanted to study, and it's the greatest in-car studying thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wait, what
He's, like, steering the car with his elbow. The book is on the wheel, and he has literally taped notes to his window.
Oh.
This is so inadvisable. And it's raining, okay? And dark. I was like... Devotion, but no! This is not a good idea! And he has the part beside him. So he got the part and he's coming back. But you can tell by how he's studying that it's not going well. It's like, three A's in a row? No, there's no way you'd pick three A's in a row. You know? And he gets it wrong or whatever. So he gets back, he puts the thing in the computer. He puts the part in the computer. But... For some reason, the window's open or something, so the ground is covered in water, and he happens to stand in the water, and he's holding two wires, and he gets electrocuted!
Of course.
And the machine goes dark, and then he runs away. And that night, he gets home late, and he's going to sleep, and he starts just saying things in his sleep.
Yeah.
And I think it's his brother. I realize now that it's his brother the whole time.
What?
Wow. This is a recurring character.
What?
So he leans over and he's like, hey, Dex, are you alright? He's like, oh yeah, I'm fine. He's like, you were beeping. And he's beeping. He's going, meep. But his mouth doesn't move when he beeps. He just beeps. I don't understand.
He just does that, it's fine.
He just beeps. Now, he says, you mean, burp? And he says, no, beep.
Oh my gosh.
So the next day, there's the test, and he's like, you have to, the professor says, you have to finish it, and you, if you can't answer it, just move on to the next question, because it's a speed test.
Yeah.
So answer as much as you can. So they go, and Dexter's like, ah, whatever, and then he looks down, and he starts answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most intense answering. He goes, choo, 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 choo. He starts checking things.
Yeah.
Finishes. And, like, the professor is shocked.
Yeah.
Everyone's shocked. He tries to go about eating his lunch,
uh-huh.
But it's in a brown bag, of course.
Yeah. So it's kind of loud.
So that doesn't work. Next scene, they're at the doctor. Because the professor has said, the university, this is irregular. Something is wrong with Dexter. he had explained what happened the night before. So they take him to the doctor, and the dean is there. Dean is like, what's up? I don't think this is a good use of money. And he says, nope, we should check him out. So they look inside his brain, and this is when you see the literal buttons,
yeah.
Death Star buttons,
uh-huh.
Ruth, in his head. They're like, what is going on in your head, dude? He's like, I'm sorry. So the dean, then next scene, they're like, oh no. So he goes in front of a panel of people who are going to, like, question him to see how smart he is.
Yeah.
And his friends reassure him, and they're like, you're smart,
fine.
You're gonna be fine. So he gets up there, and the first professor, he asks two really hard math questions, he gets them both right, and then they're gonna ask him a third one, but he says, hang on, you've asked me three of these questions already, shouldn't we move on to the next one? And in the course of 10 minutes, his friends identify his character change, and one of them turns the other one and goes, I preferred the old Dexter.
Oh my gosh!
It was so fast! I mean, they're right that his character, he starts to get sort of full of himself, but it was so fast! His friends were so fast to be like, he's changed. In the course of the beginning
yeah.
of an interview. Anyways, so then we get snapshots of Dexter's life as he continues. It's like 24 hours, 48 hours or something. He gets a pinstripe suit. It's a literal ticker tape parade.
What?
Who gets, you know, World War II veterans get a ticker tape parade. Okay?
Yeah.
They're going a little overboard, if I can say myself. So his friends think, you know, they watch him on TV and they think he's changed. And meanwhile, the dean says, you know, we're gonna make some, this is amazing, it's so great, and then the encyclopedia people show up. So apparently,
encyclopedia people?
Yeah. So apparently, there's this competition held by the encyclopedia people, where it's like a
mm-hmm.
trivia competition,
mm-hmm.
and the trick is to, whoever can answer the most questions correctly, it's a university competition, so you've got like a team of people who compete, you get $10,000.
Okay.
Or maybe it's $100,000. It's a lot of money. You get a lot of money for winning. And the dean says, awesome! We'll have Dexter on our team, and then we'll have it in the bag, you know? Meanwhile, Dexter's at the UN.
What?
Because he can learn languages very quickly.
Okay.
And, they're like, he's gonna be the smartest member to be in the world. it's gonna be amazing. Meanwhile, the State College is conspiring to poach Dexter. You know, how do we...
Dexter poaching.
Dexter poaching, exactly. It's like, we're gonna give him everything he needs to be successful over here. We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna get him here. Then, while Dexter is watching a rocket launch, Mr. Arno phones him and says, you know, Dexter, we're gonna have a meeting when you come back. That sound good? He's like, yeah, it's whatever. It's whatever. So he does. He gets home. He brushes off his friends, the jerk, and his former college, and heads right to Mr. Arno, who's at a racetrack, and of course, Dexter can predict the numbers perfectly.
Yeah.
Arno makes tons of money, and then he says, okay, hey, he says to his henchman, his stooge, take him to, you know, Malarkey's or something. So they go.
I don't think his name is Malarkey.
Arno goes one way, and Dexter and his henchmen, and Arno's henchmen go to this place. Well, the dean of the colleges, both colleges,
mm-hmm.
are following him at this point to try and get him to sign
yeah.
the document. So they both follow him, and they all show up, and it turns out, now when I saw this scene, I was a little confused, because it looked like a normal house. Not normal, it was a fancy house, but a normal, it wasn't like a bar or something. I thought they were
yeah.
going to a pizza place or a bar. So they show up at this house.
A pizza place?
Because he said they have good pizza.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. So they, Dexter goes in, so do the Deans, they follow him in, and they sort of lose track of Dexter in the crowd, and they're looking through these curtains, and they start arguing about when who's going where, and then the cops show up, okay. Blowing a cop whistle, and they're like, and then a lady who's at one of the craps tables, because inside of the house is a gambling, did I say this already?
No.
Okay, the house is a gambling place with full-on slot machines and tables and stuff. And again, my brain was like, this kind of looks like a normal house. Then the cops show up, and a lady at one of the craps tables goes, it's a raid! And everyone, they don't run, they just sort of walk speedily away.
As,
and the guy at the front, the cop who just busts in and says, all the entrances are blocked. This is a raid. You will be. Like, he's just droning on about how they're, you know, gonna get everybody here.
Yeah.
And then it struck me that you aren't allowed to just have gambling wherever.
That's correct.
Yeah. So this could still happen today.
Yes.
And in my brain, I thought it was unique to the 60s. Or the late 60s, the 69. But no, it's a thing, apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, both the Deans get arrested.
Oh my gosh!
And so does Dexter and the other, and the henchmen. So, in jail, the Deans are still arguing. Dexter's sad. And
yeah.
The henchman says, you know, what's the matter? You know, you and me, we could stick together. And he says, don't you think that everyone's just out for himself? You know, he's starting to have big thoughts. And the henchman says, you know, you just go with the flow, kid. Then Dexter gets bailed out. And the henchman says, oh, it's Mr. Arno. And he says, don't let him forget me. He'll get me too, right? And Dexter's like, I'll be sure to remind him. So he gets to the door, and he opens the door, and Ruth, my heart was so filled with joy. It wasn't Mr. Arno. It was the very large pack of Dexter's friends.
Aww.
All standing at the counter, like, with dollar bills. They have, like, change. They're, like, pushing it onto the police. There's at least 12 of them, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the cop is counting out the money, and he says, you've only got $98.75. You owe me $1.25.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, no! No way! I'm like, come on, then. And the cop is like, okay, I will pay the money myself if you get out of here. So, it's really great. His friends came to get him out of jail.
Aww.
And he turns around because both of the Deans are trying to get him. And he looks at the other Dean and says, I'll go back to my college with the friends, you know. And he's like, yay, that's so great. So he goes and he talks to his friends, like, thanks for bailing me out, you know. And they're just like, I'm sorry I was a jerk. And they're like, yay, we're so glad you're here, man. And it's really wonderful. And that is exactly halfway through the movie.
Oh. I was really prepared for wrapping up soon.
Yeah, me too. Watching it, I always thought, well, that's done, right?
No. Okay.
So, because we still have the encyclopedia competition, which Dexter has agreed to participate in, next scene... He's speed reading encyclopedias. One of his buddies is timing him, and the other, like, 10 people are just watching him raptly.
Oh my gosh.
Like, skimming encyclopedias. Which is pretty great. So he, Quigley calls him and says, okay, so these are the people who are going to be on your panel with you, who are going to help you answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
They're all really smart. He says, oh, good. Can I have my other 3 buddies on the panel instead? So he just stacks, like, 3 of his friends on the panel,
uh-huh.
who are not the sharpest tools in the shed.
No.
And they don't study. It's just nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not gonna answer
uh-huh.
questions. And in fact, he tries to give them answers on the panel.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, who are the 3 ancient Greek figures who were sculptors? And he leans over to one of them, okay, you answer this one. He gives them 3 names with
uh-huh.
intense things, and they're like, Hippocrates? No. So he ends up answering all the questions, of course, and his buddies are just smiling away.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, he gets asked a question, and the answer is Applejack. And then he starts glitching. He's like, Applejack, 2, 9, 7.
Uh-oh.
And he snaps out of it, but Mr. Arno was watching that, and because it was the biggest thing on TV at the time, I'm sure. And he's watching it, and he says, oh no, this kid knows everything. We have to take him away before people can find out stuff.
What?
He calls his people. He's like, shut down the Applejack station or whatever.
What?
You know? Because he's got, the numbers are some sort of code for his hideouts or whatever. So he freaks out, calls everybody, tells them to shut down. So he says, pick up the kid. We need to put him on ice, to his henchman guy. So they go.
Does that mean dead?
Mm-hmm. So they go, and they get him. Meanwhile, his friends are worried because he's disappeared.
Yeah.
And they figure it out, actually. It's really inspiring to watch. They figure it out, they send one of their buddies to the cops, they find him out in the country, wherever the house was, you know, they have it, they get it down. His buddy, so two of them figure it out, and they come back and tell the rest of them. And so they have a plan to rescue him. They have informed the cops of their insight. The cops have done nothing with it yet, but they are looking into it. So they're like, we have to get him out. Next day, bright and early, the three other members of the panel are still at the competition, okay?
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, all the rest of his buddies have dressed up like painters.
What?
And are painting desperately horrible colors the house that they've stashed him in. And they have a fake work order that says they're supposed to do this. So they need a reason to be on the property.
Uh-huh.
So they're pretending to paint this house. This is intense, man. You know? They call him. They make the phone number for their group, the like junior common room thing.
This is so much more dedicated than like anything, any prank or like defense I've heard of.
It's amazing. So they call the, the guy who's like, is this really a thing? He calls the hangout room where they hang out, and one of their buddies who's there.
Common room?
The common room. Well, he picks up the phone, and he's like, hey, yes, this is the paint company. They have it all sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
They're brilliant. So, ultimately, they were gonna kill Dexter that morning, but because of all the people there, they can't get him out inconspicuously. So, they do figure out where he is. He's in a trunk in the upstairs. They go up, they drag him out. It's pretty intense. They accidentally drop him off the roof in the trunk, but he's fine. And, then they run away with the trunk. It's a great scene.
Yeah.
Tons of children, not children, tons of youths jumping onto the paint truck, dragging, and then just driving away. They've conveniently filled all but one of the cars with paint, except for Dexter's car. And so all the bad guys jump in that car. There's a great car chase that involves paint spraying everywhere on the road. They get to the competition. And they get Dexter out of the thing. He's a little squished, but he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He hit his head. And so he's in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask a question of him. And he starts speaking really slowly.
Oh, no.
And you realize the computer is starting to die within him because he hit his head while he was in the thing.
The computer is dying?
Well, the computer is, like, failing. It's malfunctioning.
Is he gonna be okay?
Uh-huh. He'll be fine. So he's really having trouble getting his words out. And, sure enough, of course, his buddies only got 30 points compared to the other, like, 80 points.
Yeah.
They were trying, or 100 points or something.
Yeah.
But Dexter comes in, he wins. He gets them to within 10 points. No, he gets them above 10 points. But then in the middle...
10-point difference?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, he has them above. They're winning by 10
okay,
points.
Yeah.
He then passes out in the middle of a question.
Oh, no.
It goes to the other team. They get it right.
No!
So they're winning.
No!
Dexter wakes up, and they're like, okay, last question. It goes to you guys, because it's a timed
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It goes to you guys, Dexter's team. You know, what's such and such a town? It's exactly the middle of something or other. And he says, I don't know! He doesn't know, his brain's hurting. And the guy sitting next to him is like, come on, man, you can do it. It's where my uncle lives, you know? It's, he starts listing all these things, and he's like, dude, you know it! So he gives the name, and it's funny, and they win, and it's great. And then the bad guys show up, they chase the kids out, they run out, then the bad guys run into the cops are arrested. Closing scene.
The cops arrest the bad guys?
Correct, I said that incorrectly. So, closing scene, it's all the policemen, and they're chatting, not the policemen, the professors, other P word. The professors are talking together, and they're like, the Professor Quigley says, you know, we should get this really intense machine for the kids. And he says, we don't have the budget. Meanwhile, the students are all listening outside, so. the dean says, whenever we gather, they gather. He doesn't understand what's going on. So the kids, they hear it, everything, they turn it off, and he's like, one of the students goes, we gotta figure out a way to get Mr. Quigley that machine. And then the rest of them are like, nah. And they walk away, and one of the characters turns to Dexter and says, you know, if we ever get one of those machines, Dexter, don't fool around with it, will you? He says, okay. And that's the end of the movie.
That's kind of sweet.
It is kind of fun. It's fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a good movie.
There's a really different sense of, like, group strength.
It was the wildest friend group I'd ever seen in just such a...
Yeah.
You know, people say you can't have, like, more than two friends or whatever, close friends. And I said, yeah. I mean, I believe that. But this was such an excellent example of group friendship.
Yeah.
Like, more than two people being a group.
Huh.
I really enjoyed it. It was really fun. Yeah.
I want to watch the movie.
Yeah. It's so pleasant.
Yeah.
It's such a pleasant movie.
Yeah. I like pleasant movies.
Yeah. Well, folks, that's the end of our episode this week. Thanks so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, which we don't use, Facebook, and actually, we are releasing all of our podcasts on YouTube this summer.
Oh yeah, this is a big announcement.
Over the summer, we're uploading all of our podcasts to YouTube. But
what's our YouTube channel called?
Oh, Lost in Theaters, of course.
Cool.
Additionally, however, Ruth and I, because of the summer,
we have bigger announcement.
Yeah, little spare time. We decided to do bonus episodes this summer, which will involve us. So it's hard to talk about.
Exclusive to YouTube.
Oh yeah, because they will be. That's the thing. And they'll actually be videos of us, probably. But that's how it's going to
be. Okay, but what are they about?
Okay, so the idea is, when you talk about obscure movies, you talk about them often with respect to classic films, or canon, the canon of films, you know?
These YouTube videos are about classic films that we have not seen.
Yes, but they're so that you can talk about the not-so-classic films. And it's just going to be this summer, in the summer. Maybe, you know, it'll be the summer special.
Okay.
Ta-da! Yes!
I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. So, that'll probably come out next week. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Closing song. The computer wore tennis shoes and he had a happy smile. Don't you wanna be the blues when you see a happy mom?
I'm getting serious Christmas vibes.
And it was a tune of Christmas tunes.
It's June, though. We can't even have Christmas in July.
Oh, man. Anyways, thanks so much for listening. Bye!
Bye!